Hello, one and all, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. I'm in a surprisingly good mood, much of it probably being drawn from the fact that I now get to introduce our co-host for the day. Returning once again, Ida Rodriguez. Ida, how's it going?
Good, how you doing? What's up?
I'm good. I've been excited since last night, putting together the rundown and then forgetting to click send to send it to you. But excited to talk about these topics with you. I know that you've been you're vaccinated, but you've been touring. How is it, you know, sort of returning a little bit to what life for you is supposed to be like?
You know, I think still I feel I don't know if it's PTSD or if it's just having human consideration for others, but I'm still just being cautious, and being on the road is really hard because people want to interact and I want to follow the rules. I don't want anyone to get sick because of me, and I don't want to get sick, but I don't want anybody to get sick because of me. So
sure. It's
still, you know, it's still tough. You know, we still have to follow the rules and just do what needs to be done. And so it's an interesting place to be with comedy.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so much that I want to get back to, but it's so close. It's so close, but we can wait. I know, Ida, you probably are excited to go to Gen Con later this year, like me too. Joking. No way. It's this gigantic board game convention. And I missed it last year after being there the last 2 years. And I think if America acts kind of right, I think it can happen later this September. We'll see. And maybe by September, Ida could be doing big packed shows and huge meet and greets and prepping for our next Comedy Central special and everything. It's gonna be awesome. We're getting back there, everybody, okay? Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Regardless of where you're at, please hit the like button, share the stream, click some hearts. I don't know, there's probably stuff there. Start clicking on things, see what happens. To let people know that the stream is live. And as we go through this massive packed hour of news, you can send us messages, super chats, tweets, all of that. We'll respond and see what y'all are thinking about. We're gonna have a poll for you a little bit later on. We're actually gonna be turning to it in not too much longer, so get ready for that. And with that, why don't we jump into this thing? Matt Gaetz's defense of himself has been mostly non-existent over the past week. He did his big Tucker Carlson interview. That was a disaster. I'm not really saying that. Tucker Carlson is saying that. But now the second phase of his self-defense is here. And he really couldn't wait much longer, because we found out yesterday that although they're still anonymous, if Matt Gaetz is indicted and the charges include sex with a teenager, Republicans will call for his resignation, according to senior GOP lawmakers. They won't wait for Democrats to make that demand. They'll go first. Well, I think some are already demanding it, so you're not first in line. Just do the right thing. But anyway, he has written an op-ed in the Washington Examiner. And I want to read you a few excerpts. The entire thing is available if you want to read it in its entirety, but here's a few of the highlights. He says, since I'm taking my turn under the gun, which is a way to describe the investigation, let me address the allegations against me directly. First, I have never ever paid for sex. And second, I as an adult man have not slept with a 17-year-old, and no, I am absolutely not resigning. So Ida, I've criticized him for not specifically refuting some of these components of what's being said that he did. Here he is mostly doing that. That first one, I've never ever paid for sex. I could see how he's trying to be tricky and say I paid for the hotel, not for the sex. But he said he hasn't had sex with a 17-year-old. A very specific claim. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that it's really funny because I try my best not to accuse people of things that I don't have any evidence for. And I think all of this stuff can be tricky because I think that, you know, I think both political parties play dirty and they do people do shady stuff. That being said, I just think that when it comes to people like this who've been so vocal and have been so egregious in their behaviors, that the takedown makes it sweeter and easier for the people who hate him. And in his case, there are a lot of people who hate him, you know. I don't know if he had sex with a young girl. I hope he didn't. I hope that's not the way that he goes out. I hope he goes out, you know, by way of being a bad politician and being horrible at his job and not deserving to be there because he doesn't care about the people. He's basking in wealth and privilege and is so disconnected from his constituents. And I think those are the reasons why he should go. And I really hope that he hasn't sexually assaulted a young woman, because then that means there's another young woman out in the world with trauma and the horrific reality of what sexual assault is. But that being said, it's really hard to believe things that come out of the mouth of people who historically have been dishonest and you know, deceitful. And I think that he's fighting a battle, not just because of these allegations, but the battle of having such a horrible reputation.
I think you're totally right. Look, you are better in this area than I am. I'm willing to see him go down for literally anything. I'm kidding, but no, you're right. And we will give, even though, again, we will never get credit for any of this, we'll say again, we don't know if he did any of this stuff. Has he been confirmed to be a criminal? No. Has he been confirmed to be a sleazeball? 100% yes, although we mostly suspected that anyway. Now, that said, here's a bit more. He said, it comes as no, so, and by the way, file this under, this dude is going to present a scandal in exactly the same way Donald Trump would and has. Every criticism, every scandal is illegitimate. And so here's how he does that. It comes as no surprise that my political opponents want to sensationalize and criminalize my prior sex life, just as I am getting engaged to the best person I've ever known, as if anybody cares about that. It is regrettable that the battle of ideas should thus become so personal. But then again, when your ideas suck, you need to stoop this low. So first of all, he's presenting himself as if they're trying to take out Batman. Like, yeah, you're annoying. You're a bad guy. You're like, the DOJ isn't like, all hands on deck. We got to take down Matt Gaetz. He's about to get engaged. Fire all missiles. No, nobody cares about that. And whatever this is about, it is not about ideas, because it's about you and you have no ideas.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called The Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of The Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Sure, it's easy for me as an opponent of you to say that. The people who like you don't like you for your ideas. They like you because you love Trump and you trigger the libs from their point of view. That's all it's ever been about. No Republican considers you a serious person full of substance. This isn't about ideas or stopping ideas. This is about, allegedly, you being investigated for crimes and maybe also someone trying to extort you. Those are two separate related issues, and he tries to distract with the one to get away with the potential crimes of the former. But any other thoughts?
Isn't that Robert Barr the one who started this investigation?
It was the DOJ under him, yeah.
Yeah, isn't he part of their little crew? So, you know, this is so funny that he would spin this on just a Democrat thing where that's where the investigation began.
Sure.
Those are his own people. That's his own crew. But the other thing is that you're right. It's the spin of that's straight out of the Donald Trump playbook. It's like, They're trying to take me down. They're trying to take me down. And again, I will continue to say, I don't pump Republican or Democrat blood. I pump for the people, and I will continue to do that. And I call it the way I see it. And when you're trash, regardless of which political party you belong to, you're trash. But what I think is interesting is that someone like this, he's just really bad at his job. He's good at being a rich, entitled, privileged kid when you saw him square off with some people in the House when they are talking about issues that have to do with those who are not as privileged as he is. But it's just right out of the page of, and the thing that I will continue to say, right out of the page of Donald Trump's handbook, no one insults that base more than they do, because they really insult their intelligence by thinking that they will believe anything. Sure. They whack the dog constantly for these people, and it's always like stoking these conspiracy theories. And you know what? It's harmful to these people, because those are the people who are not going to get vaccinated because they believe these conspiracy theories. Yep. And I guarantee you that Matt and his big fat head probably already got his vaccination before anybody else. And these people who are following them, who are broke and are struggling because they don't have good healthcare and they don't have resources, believe all the foolishness that they tell them. They're idolizing the celebrity worship, and it's just so sad. I hate it here.
You're 100% right. We're gonna demonstrate right now how they do this too, how they get them to think that these people who are conning them have their back. We got an update later on about Trump conning them, and it doesn't matter how clear it is. His followers will never actually get it, but. Here's an example of him following in Trump's footsteps, literally stealing his lines to accomplish what Ida was just talking about. So in the op-ed, he says, "You'll see more drip, drip, drip of leaks into the media from the corrupt Justice Department and others," implying that he knows there's more coming. When you do, ask yourself why. They aren't coming for me, they are coming for you. I'm just in the way, which is literally a meme that Trump tweeted out back in 2019. You can see right here. No, this has nothing to do with their constituents. Matt Gaetz potentially raping a 17-year-old isn't about Joe from Tallahassee. It's just really not. No. And Trump potentially trying to manipulate an election and that being looked into is not about his constituents. You can't simply say every criminal thing I'm accused of doing, I'm just defending you from the deep state. No, you are a politician. People can support you or not, but they shouldn't worship you. And when you believe that everything they do, that they're accused of having done, is all in defense of you, never for their own power, their own, you know, self-aggrandizement, or you know, like their legacy or financial gain. It can't be any of that. It's all for me. No. Be like Ida. Don't pump your blood, like she said, for these con men, regardless of party. And his. Just the cheap version of Trump there. Look, Matt Gaetz, you have to remember one thing at the end of the day. You're Matt Gaetz. You're not that great, honestly. Like, they'll accept you because you mock people that they don't like, but they don't love you like Trump. And Trump certainly does not love you like Trump, which is why he remains silent. He is not defending Matt Gaetz. He's not speaking out in support of him. And others have taken his lead. All of these people, the Kirks and the Bonginos and the Hannitys, you'll notice they're not speaking out in support of Matt Gaetz either, because he's been abandoned by the guy he showed so much loyalty to.
Yeah, and you know what? Being a person who is trying to stay away from social media, people are always talking about how Hollywood is filled with pedophiles. And then, you know, and then the Democrats are pedophiles and the Republicans. Shouldn't everybody be standing against pedophiles, regardless of where they are, if they're in Hollywood or Washington or anywhere in between? Like, I'm tired of these talking points, like, characteristic of someone who works in a certain place. It is an awful thing to be, and everybody should be denouncing it at all costs, because all of those people who are in that have young daughters and sons, and I'm just so tired of this politicizing of things that really affect everyday people in the worst way. And then they just get to ride off into the sunset and not deal with the consequences of all of the damage that they cause to people who don't have the privilege and the resources that they do.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. I want to switch things up for a second and turn to a slightly different angle of this, especially when you understand, if you do read his entire op-ed, he referenced his prior support for Katie Hill, who stepped down after her own sexual story came out. So she has responded to that. So let's turn to that now. Former Representative Katie Hill is addressing the Matt Gaetz allegations. Now, of course, you might recall that back when she was facing calls to resign and did, he was one of the few that spoke out in support of her. Will she do the same? Well, let's see. So remember, back in 2018, she was a rising star in the Democratic Party and might come back at some point. She defeated a GOP incumbent in the LA area. 10 months into her term, a conservative site published allegations that she had a sexual relationship with a male congressional staffer that violated ethics rules. The site also accused Hill, who was openly bisexual, and her ex-husband of having a consensual three-way relationship with a woman on her campaign staff. So look, regardless of whatever you think about those allegations, they don't rise to the level of what Matt Gaetz is being accused of. It's at most an ethical issue involving workplace stuff. It's not federal sex trafficking laws that have been violated. Now that said, here is what she had to say, Katie Hill. Matt was the first member of Congress who publicly and unapologetically defended me, saying that while I might have made mistakes, I was a victim in this circumstance. At one of the darkest moments of my life, when I was feeling more alone than I ever had, Matt stood up for me, and that really mattered. Gaetz said at the time, who among us would look perfect if every ex leaked every photo text? Katie isn't being investigated by ethics or maligned because she hurt anyone. It is because she is different. So he referenced there the leaked photos. And we've learned a lot about him and his own history of leaking photos. Well, here's what Katie Hill had to say. CNN reported that Matt had shown at least two lawmakers photos and videos of naked women. The women on his phone likely had no idea that the nude photos and videos they'd either privately shared or that he'd taken with or without their consent were being passed around and ogled by Republican congressmen. If true, Matt had engaged in the very practice he defended me from. Let me state it as clearly as possible. If despite his denials, Matt Gaetz did have sex with a minor, if he did provide girls and young women with drugs and money and gifts in exchange for sex, if he did ask these girls and young women to recruit other women for the same purpose, and if he did show his colleagues images of nude women without their consent, he needs to be held responsible. Some of these actions are criminal and some of them should be. All are morally reprehensible and unacceptable for a lawmaker. If there is even a fraction of truth to these reports, he should resign immediately. So look, she didn't have to get involved in this, although I'm sure people were wondering, considering his past defense for her. But I think what she says, her expectations is perfectly reasonable. You don't have to be blindly supportive of someone when they're doing the thing that you were the victim of.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, her having extramarital affairs or any type of relations with people who are consenting adults cannot be compared to someone who is participating in sex trafficking and been pedophilia of some sort or having an inappropriate relationship with a minor. And I think it's just unfair to even ask her that or to, you know, put the mic in her face, which is a lot of times what people like to do to those who are in the marginalized groups, to ask them about how they feel about the empowered. Like, I don't know how it went down and how it ended up, you know, being tossed to her. But I just think that it's not, why are they asking her about this? Why are they always—
Well, she wrote the op-ed. It might've been in response to a request, but she did write an op-ed about it.
Oh, she wrote an op-ed. Okay, I'm ill-informed. Yeah. No, so the fact that she, but the fact that she felt, you know, compelled, I'm just tired of people asking women about men's behaviors, asking black people about white people's behavior, asking the undocumented about, you know, the citizen people's behavior. I think you know what, if Matt Gaetz did something inappropriate with someone who's underage, his ass needs to go. And I just think that we just need to just face that and we need to just get down. Like, we politicize everything at this point now, that people are not held accountable for breaking the law. And it's just like, what kind of example do we send to the rest of the country when people who are the lawmakers, the people who are in the positions of where they are supposed to be writing the laws, enforcing the laws, are not held accountable to the laws? It causes lawlessness throughout the land. And we have a serious problem right now.
100%. We'll see. Things are developing fast. We'll see if his little op-ed actually changes anything. We've got some good news and some bad news when it comes to the pandemic. You know what? Let's start off with the bad news. Take a look at footage from the Texas Rangers opening day. That's more than 40,000 people packing into the stadium to show their support for the MLB, which I guess is good considering they're supposed to be boycotting it, I guess. But that's a lot of people. Now, many people have been sharing photos of those not wearing masks. To be fair, like this photo from SportsCenter, if you look closely, there are a good number of people who are wearing masks, but not all of them. And they're not socially distanced. That's basically the most packed crowd I've seen in a long time. So yeah, I know that's a little bit worrying. What do you think?
I think exactly what you think. Ew, that is a COVID festival. You know, like you said, they're supposed to be boycotting the MLB for one thing, and then they are supporting it. And another thing, it just speaks to what I'm saying, that these people are constantly being manipulated into, you know, they're just constantly being manipulated with talking points and misinformation. And it's just such a great indicator of the lack of education in this country. Like, it's just really shows that people really don't have, they don't really employ their agency in a way that, which is fueled with intelligence and information. It is just all propaganda. And that's really sad and unfortunate, because if we know the numbers that we know and how COVID works, we know that there are gonna be some sick people and probably some dead people that come out of this event. And it was just totally unnecessary and didn't have to happen.
Yeah, I mean, your prediction is totally possible. We were talking before the show about a CDC study showing multiple events where there was COVID spread attended by people who just earlier that day had tested positive, but they still go. Are you willing to bet that out of 40,000 people, none of them got a positive COVID test result earlier today or earlier this week? Barkley says in Twitch, the energy in the stadium is infectious. Yes, unfortunately it is. And look, it might be fine. Maybe it'll be fine. It's outdoors, which will help. Many of those people, let's keep it real, have already had COVID because they've proven to not necessarily be the most responsible people. There's a good amount of vaccination, even in Texas. It's free to anybody over 16 plus can get vaccinated. So there's a lot. And like all of these things combined imply that maybe this won't be an absolute disaster like it would have been last year. Especially like, will people get COVID? Almost certainly, but they will probably tend to be younger people because older people are more likely to be vaccinated. Maybe it'll all work out. However, over the next few weeks, as you hear the governor of Texas continue to say, these migrants are bringing in COVID. Just remember, he's perfectly cool with baseball games like that. If he's really worried about COVID spread, he has an interesting xenophobic way of showing it.
Yep.
Now, we also have some good news though. And that is that with all states having opened eligibility to the public for vaccination, or at least having announced when they plan to do so, President Biden will announce today that every adult in the country will be eligible to be vaccinated by April 19th instead of Biden's original deadline of May 1st. So they are moving that up. Now they're able to do that because so many states have already said that by then they will be able to vaccinate anyone that wants it. But that is less, that's less than 2 weeks from now. Theoretically, everybody who is at least a Matt Gaetz sexual preference in age or higher will have access to a vaccination within 2 weeks. So that's some good news, Ida.
It is. You know, I just want them to stop playing games with the people, all of them. You know, I just really want them to stop playing. This was a very big part of our election, and we lost a lot of people. I know people, I lost people. You know, I just really want them to stop playing politics with this. There are a lot of people out there who don't believe that this is real still, that they don't want to take the vaccine. the nation because they are citing conspiracy theories, different experiments that have happened to different groups of people in this country, including the Tuskegee experiment, which was awful with regards to people. And you know, you got white people going to neighborhoods where they risk their lives to just go get the vaccine. You see them in you know, in the hood going to take the vaccine. Bakersfield is wide open because a lot of the people in Bakersfield don't believe in this. They think it's a big conspiracy not getting vaccinated. And it's just unfortunate because they keep playing these games and a lot of people are, you know, are dying. And just because you had COVID doesn't mean you can't get it again. The lady who does my hair, she had COVID twice. And there's another woman that we knew who got it twice. The first time she survived it, the second time she died. Oh, and geez. So it's all you gotta do is talk to the people who work in the hospitals. Don't listen to the politicians. Talk to the nurses and the doctors who have to care for the people with COVID. And take their word for it, because they're the ones risking their lives to go and deal with these people. And they're not gonna make, all nurses and doctors are not gonna make up a pandemic to serve big pharma. Not all the nurses and all the doctors, you know?
Yeah, and look, you know, the concern you expressed about people who are suspicious based on past, you know, US government or pharmaceutical testing, and like Tuskegee is a great example, although there are others. Look, the fact that people are considering that, on some level, I appreciate. I want us to learn from our history, and learning from the structural racism in public health is a good idea. I would say, though, you don't need to go looking for an aspect of Tuskegee or lack of concern for black and brown lives in this pandemic. We already have that. The aid didn't really go out for a year, in no small part because those are the people that were being most affected by the pandemic. Like the willingness to let it run rampant through prisons, through certain communities. Like, we've already seen the aspect of racism in the response to the pandemic, but now the vaccine is out there. And as Ida says, like, white people are flocking to get it as fast as they can, not conservatives, but so I don't know. Like, I just save yourself. There've already been so much unnecessary loss of life. If we have access to a cure, let's do it. And finally, go on.
And they're trying like to put it in a, people are like, yeah, what are they doing in the vaccine? When you get a headache, you reach for Advil and Tylenol, you drink water out of a bottle, you eat at McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box. You are constantly inhaling air that is polluted by all kinds of, you know, all there are types of variants of pollutions and pollutants. So when we sit here and say this, you know, I get it, I understand. But the truth is that if they really want to get you, they just get you with this thing that you keep in your hand and you go everywhere. You always got it with you. That there's radiation. I mean, we got cancer that's running amok. We got all kinds of diseases that are a result of the environment and the things that we consume. So just to target a one vaccine that is made to target this thing, I just think, I mean, and I got caught up in it too. And then I was like, these white people are really out here in the hood lining up for this vaccine. And we are not believing that it's gonna help us because of the history that we have with this government as people of color and black people in this country. I'm just like, it's just confusing. And I understand why some people feel the way that they do, and I respect that. But you said it, the response to COVID and how it took so many black and brown people and poor people out is exactly, you know, what we needed to be concerned about.
Yesterday, we broke down a New York Times investigation into a way that the Trump campaign had stolen literally dozens and dozens and dozens of millions of dollars from their followers by opting them into recurring donations and making it very difficult to know that that was even happening. And we're not talking about just $27. No, we're talking about thousands of dollars being stolen over just a 1 month period from people who loved and supported Donald Trump. Well, now he has responded to these allegations, and obviously this is a serious story, so the president must be taking it very seriously, or maybe not, because this is what he had to say. In yet another highly partisan story, the failing New York Times, what does it have to do with anything that they're failing? That doesn't have anything to do with the research anyway. Says, wrote a completely misleading one-sided attack piece this weekend that tried to disparage a record-setting grassroots fundraising operation during the 2020 campaign. Except for massive voter fraud, this was a campaign that was easily won by your favorite Republican president, me, in case you weren't sure who that was. But anyway, to the specific allegations in the story of making people give a bunch of money that they then had to refund over $100 million. He says, in fact, many people were so enthusiastic that they gave over and over, and in certain cases where they would give too much, we would promptly refund their contributions. Now, that's not a response to any of this. They didn't give too much, like they were too generous, or they were so enthusiastic. It's literally, Ida, over $100 million of them saying, please give me my money back. You have bankrupted me. I'm retired. I can barely pay my rent. Some of these people were vets or like paying off their cancer treatment. Some had to cancel their credit cards to stop money from being robbed from them. And this is the response they get. Oh, they're great. So enthusiastic. They love being conned more than anyone else in America. Oh God, it's so insulting, Ida. So insulting to these people who support him so much.
Yeah, but you know, that's the game, right? That's the game. And we've been watching the celebrity worship with Donald Trump unfold since before he was president of the United States. And people find him aspirational and they wanna identify with him because they too can do what he's done without knowing what he's done, because he really didn't do much. But these are the consequences of the choices that you make. And it's sad to hear that people are struggling because they have cancer or they have these issues. But I have to analyze the situation, and not speaking specifically to those people, but all of those people, is you supported Donald Trump because a lot of you who supported Donald Trump because you hate immigrants. You have a problem with Black Lives Matter. You're homophobic, you got a problem with trans people, you don't respect humanity on certain levels. It is only the only people that you respect and whose lives you value are the ones who look and sound like you. And these are the consequences of supporting someone when racism and xenophobia and all of the phobias are not a deal breaker for you. You end up getting conned by someone like Donald Trump. And there you are. These are the consequences.
Yeah, even if like when we were doing the story yesterday about like individuals being robbed of like $8,000, calling him a bandit, like I feel really bad. There's a little tinge of like, but you've known he's a con man for years. It's not like these stories haven't come out with Trump University and all this stuff. Like, he robs people, but okay, still. Then this story comes out.
Well, I mean,
exactly. It has to be so close to home.
Yeah, and that's the problem with America right now, is that people don't care about others. There's no empathy. I mean, I would say it's a global issue. They don't care about other people. Only when it hits home to you, when those white women started getting hit by the cops and they started shooting those rubber bullets. And when they saw that the cops were like, we don't care about you either, then they were like, oh snap, this is a real problem. They were even coming for me. And it shouldn't have to take that. You shouldn't have to have a daughter to care about pedophilia. You shouldn't have to have a wife to care about sexual assault. So this is what happens when you don't care about other people. You have an attitude and you don't see those babies that died at the border as human beings. Then don't ask for people to see your humanity when it's your turn.
Yeah. You're 100% right. You should be able to have empathy for people who are not like you, because they're still people, no matter how different they might seem on the surface. But the fact that they responded, I felt like we had to cover it regardless because we covered the story, so he's responding. But then I saw the replies to his message. I thought this was such a huge instance of conning that maybe it would break through, and maybe for the individuals who are affected, as Ida's saying, maybe it did. But like, the first replies are from like Janine Gallagher, the best is yet to come. Or Eduardo says, great, with American flags. On Twitter, no, he's a con man. And he cares so little about his fans. He has so little respect for them that his official response to an expose showing that they robbed I mean, we don't even know how much they robbed. They had to refund $122 million. God only knows how much they took that the people didn't notice. Is the best is yet to come. Yay, Trump. How can you not have more respect for yourself? I get it. There are politicians you like. There are politicians I like. You know, right now in the studio, we have politicians who come in sometimes. A great fan from Guam sent me a box of Chamorro chip cookies. But like, if we had Bernie over, and as Bernie leaves, I see that he's got my box of cookies in his arms, I'm gonna have a problem with him. Because if someone robs you, it should bother you on some level. And he robbed thousands of dollars worth of Chamorro chip cookies, but they just don't, they can't see it. They can't see it and they can't care. They can't care about themselves.
No.
Bernie, don't take my cookies. That's the message I have for you today. Anyway, okay. Let's turn now from that to something incredibly serious, not talked about often enough. Product of amazing work from someone who we are very much fans of here on this show. I want to give you the details on a story that friend of the show, Ken Klippenstein, detailed on The Intercept. And it has to go into an instance of almost unthinkable pervasive sexual assault at a military base. Now, we know this is not an isolated incident. This is not even just an isolated rash of sexual assault. The military is rife with sexual assault. And it can't be surprising because it has been going on for a very long time and effectively nothing has been done. Year after year after year, as more and more predominantly women have described the instances of sexual harassment and assault that they've suffered from, and nothing is done. So let's take a look at one of the natural outcomes of the military not caring to protect the women that serve in it. Soldiers at Fort Sill in Oklahoma have been suspended from duty pending the outcome of an investigation into a female soldier's allegations that she was sexually assaulted. But it's much worse than just that. The investigation, according to a military official with direct knowledge, is scrutinizing allegations of multiple assaults against the soldier by 22 service members. Video of one incident under investigation involving several drill sergeants was circulating at the base and was obtained by Army investigators. The official said, "I heard the term sex ring thrown around, which is not one you love to hear." Now, we are very lucky to have Ida on the show today. Now, back not that many months ago, Ida was on and we talked about a similar sort of story. Sexual assault in the military was highlighted as a widespread issue after the killing of Specialist Vanessa Guillen, whose remains were discovered about 25 miles from Fort Hood in Central Texas. Officials said she was killed by a fellow soldier who dismembered and burned her body. Specialist Guillen's family said she had told them she was being sexually harassed, but never made a report. We've got some more numbers. But like Fort Hood has a long history of these sorts of incidents, and it's not the only base. Here you have Fort Sill as well, Ida. And how many of these things need to happen before the military actually takes it as serious as it would take some sort of foreign threat to our soldiers?
Well, I mean, when it starts happening to the daughters of generals and people who have power and politicians who have children that are in the military, you know, when I went overseas, because I go to overseas every year to entertain the troops, they have signs all over the bathrooms that say, you know, I was on a Marine base and you see the signs that say, if you've been sexually assaulted, please report it. You know, indicating that they must have some sort of problem. And you know, there was a young black woman whose name I can't remember before Vanessa, who was, you know, killed. They poured acid on her. They poured acid on her genitals. And it was, you know, these are the children of people of color who are mistreated in America. They send their children off to fight for the country, and then get mistreated in the military. And if they're lucky to come back, they come back to get mistreated here. And I just think that it's disgusting and it is an awful problem and we need to address it and we need to really take care of our veterans and our soldiers and the veterans when they come back and our soldiers when they're gone. Americans love, you know, these so-called patriots who hate everybody but love the veterans. They're always talking about how they're pro the soldiers and don't disrespect the soldiers and we believe in the soldiers. This whole Colin Kaepernick thing blew all out of proportion in defense of the military and the soldier. Yeah. Where are those people now? Why are you not crying and speaking up for these people who are soldiers? They are soldiers in our military who have to put their life on pause to they are misguided into believing that they're going to come back and get a real free education and be mistreated, when we know that's not true. They go over there and they get mistreated over there too. And then, you know, it's just such a problem that they don't want trans people in the military. It's just the ugly truth that we don't want to admit, because people are exhausted about talking about white supremacy and systemic racism. Mm-hmm. But all of it is a function of that, and it exists in our military and every aspect of our lives, because it was so profitable to have free labor, and people are really still pissed about it because they feel like they are missing out on something that they feel entitled to have. And that sprinkles into everything that we do, including the military. And Black lives and brown lives matter even when they're gone over there, and women's lives matter. And so, you know, when we talk about this stuff, we don't want to be honest and we don't want to be real, because it's not patriotic to criticize the military, because it's not patriotic to criticize law enforcement and the police, and it's not patriotic to criticize the government, so long as they're fulfilling the deeds that benefit you. But when they don't benefit marginalized people, you know, then you're not being patriotic. And this is an ugly problem, and we know, we've heard about it, not just with women, but people who are LGBTQIA+ also being sexually assaulted and mistreated and hazed. And you know, we need to address this problem. It's toxic. It's very toxic. And how are you gonna be well enough to go fight for this country when you are fighting your own country people in the military? Where's your mind? Imagine having to sleep in terror. You know, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but it's just like, just imagine, I've gone to the barracks, I've gone to the bases. You know, my friends have gone to the Middle East where people are sleeping in tents. We've gone to these places. So imagine having to deal with all of those things, in addition to being afraid that you are gonna be sexually assaulted by your fellow soldiers on top of all of that.
And that if you report it, which, look, the signs you said, I'm glad that those are up, but I don't know, when you report them, what happens?
Yeah.
You know, the Air Force, you know, the Officer Academy has had a long problem. A lot of it probably has to do with the fact that some of the people who are accused are power, they're the kids of powerful people, they're well connected. Okay, yep. So now you want the reports, but are you gonna actually do anything? Are you gonna take people out of the military? Are you gonna show that you care about these soldiers who have been abused? All too often, not the case. By the way, Blue Knight says in the super chat, I think the servicewoman who Ida was referring to was Lavina Johnson. I did a project on her in college.
Yes, thank you for saying her name. I meant no disrespect by it. I just forgot it, and sure, I just got so upset. But thank you for saying her name, because her name was Lavina Johnson. That is exactly who I'm talking about.
And Beth, one of the members on YouTube, said that she was, I believe that she said that she was assaulted in the Navy back in 1981. And so now the numbers of reports are going up, which is good. That shows that at least women feel like they can report it. And there's lots of reasons in the past not to, because you could be ostracized. You could be the target of more harassment or more assault, especially if the higher ups don't care, as all too traditionally they haven't. But I also agree with you, Ida, like, this should be a slam dunk for conservatives. Make it your campaign. We need to protect our soldiers. We're gonna root this out. Hell, we're gonna throw billions of extra dollars into the military to do it, to pretend that they care about the soldiers, but they don't. They don't want trans people to serve, even though they're people serving. They wanna be in the military. Tucker Carlson does a whole segment about how ridiculous women in maternity flight suits look. They're pregnant women who want to serve and defend their country. I would understand if they wanted to stop when they're pregnant, if they didn't want to serve anymore, but they do. Tucker Carlson's not serving, certainly not while pregnant. But no, it's all so fake. It's fake. They love to pretend that they have these stances, but when tested, they don't. Just like the QAnon people love to pretend that they take this plight of elite people raping kids so seriously. Oh, Matt Gaetz, oh no, I'm not concerned about that. It's probably all made up, it's all the deep state. They don't care about any of this in particular. It's all just vague, hypothetical. In theory, I have values, but don't ever actually test them. And anyway, hopefully there's justice for this individual in Fort Sill. and not just this individual, because I have a feeling that if 22 different people are assaulting one soldier in Fort Sill, that's not the only person who's being assaulted. So hopefully they'll look into it and find out. But the whole thing is just disgusting. And it's taking way, way, way too long for the military to pretend that they actually care about it.
Yeah, I went to a military base and in Asia, what I will not name. And I was the only woman there, and it was an audience filled with men. And the my fellow male comedians were like, they banded around me because they said they could feel the creepy energy. They would even, when I got heckled, they would defend me because they were like, ill. So, and it's to say, it's just a culture that feeds toxic masculinity, and people get upset when we say these words and these terms, but that's what it is. Because if you have a problem with a woman who's pregnant in a flight suit, and you don't take into consideration that women can be pilots, they can be air traffic controllers, they can be medics, they can be engineers. That's what you chose to show. When a lot of people who go over to the in the military are not just there for their brawn, but a lot of people who are there for their brains, because they provide the intelligence that the military needs for not just combat, but just for military life. And just that was what you chose to show. You don't even know where those women were being transported to. I don't think they were probably going into active combat. And if they chose to do that, that's their choice. But it's just that the switching of the narrative, as if everybody who's in the military is just, those soldiers are just these dumb people that go over there just to fight. When we know that there's a whole structure of military that in the military that mirrors that of a corporate structure in America or a governmental structure, and that there are so many branches and so many different angles of how you provide service in the military, to just single that out is just proof that they're always just showing, it's just propaganda constant to feed toxic masculinity, when there are a lot of people in the military who are men who would not survive active combat, and there are women who would kick their asses. And I'm so tired of them talking about women in that way, because it's just, you wouldn't even survive child labor, let alone combat. Mm-hmm. So how dare you talk about a pregnant woman? Do you even know what she's about to do? It's just so, man, they can miss me with us. I'm so tired of these people. Tucker Carlson and his dinner parties that he was bragging about at Politicon. Go sit down somewhere. Put a muzzle on that dude already, please.
No. I need to hear about how to become a true alpha male from Tucker Carlson. Anyway, one last super chat from Kai Kai B, who says, Drag Dragon here. My relative is in the Navy, and on top of being screwed out of money by delayed checks, hurdles thrown her way preventing access to education, she also has to deal with not getting mental health care after being sexually assaulted. Yeah, like, do we have a problem in the military? Well, I don't know. We did one story on it, and a lot of people in the audience have either themselves or know someone who's been sexually assaulted in the military. So, seems like a problem. For a long time, the left, or at least the center, has had sort of a monopoly on political comedy with shows like The Daily Report and The Colbert Report, the late night shows and all of that. But that has now changed with the introduction of Greg Gutfeld's new show, Gutfeld. Sorry. Gutfeld, because it's got an exclamation point at the end of it for some reason. Anyway, I read on Fox that it's here to scare the people who love to scare you, and that he's going to cancel culture, which I'm sure is intended to be a joke, but is actually a great commentary on the fact that they cancel just as much as the left does. Anyway, announcing the show, he says it's a talk show on a cable news network, and it's run by somebody who is not a typical newscaster. I'm not like any of the competing hosts. I'm not a comedian. And we have fact checked that, and it has borne out because we want to show you a bit of the first show, which just happened yesterday. And I will say, comedy is hard. That will be the intro for this first video.
You all made a great choice. For proof, over at MSNBC, let's see what Brian Williams is up to right now.
Good evening. I'm Brian Williams, and I am on Mars. Yes, I jumped on a chopper and now I'm on Mars. I've been here for a year now. I built a castle here made of mastodon carcasses and marshmallows. This is where I invented all the COVID vaccines. as well as penicillin, the smartphone, and Fluffernutter.
Some things never change.
I counted two jokes about marshmallows in that segment, which was, Ida, a reference to the Brian Williams scandal from 2015. It was just a random reference to something that happened 6 years ago.
You know what's funny is that Brian Williams is trending and not Gutfeld.
Well, maybe he did his job. He's just putting them back in the news, I guess.
But it's people tweeting about how it wasn't funny. So that's why it's like, they were like, it's not even funny. You know, listen, I listened to the whole monologue and I thought that it was very interesting to hear this centrist take. I'm here to take down the corporations. I'm here to take down everybody, which is a popular take right now. Oh, I guess I'm a socialist because I'm doing this and I'm doing that. It's just another white guy exercising his privilege, being unfunny and talking about what funny is, telling people what funny is. Another straight white guy just doing that dumb stuff that they do. Listen, I know some racist comics who are really funny, but when I see these conservative comics who take this conservative take, a lot of them are not funny. And I'm not just saying that, I'm putting myself, you know, on the line right now by publicly saying this as a comedian, because now people are going to scrutinize my comedy and I know how this thing works.
It can stand up to it. Your comedy can stand up to it, don't worry.
Yeah, no, it didn't make me laugh. Did it make you laugh? Like, I just want to listen. I believe you should be able to get them all, right? That's what what comedy is. You should be able to make fun of all the politicians and you should be able to make some good points. The fact that he thought his stuff was funnier than everybody else is what made it hard to watch. This smug approach and this sitting back like this is the time where you laugh. I mean, we know you're not a comedian because we can tell, like comedians, you know, have to work really hard instead of just writing our jokes and thinking we can just read them out loud and people are gonna laugh. That is just, you could take on Colbert and Fallon and Kimmel all you want, but they historically have been able to do their jobs well for a very long time. And whether you like their political takes or not, Stephen Colbert has been able to deliver some really funny stuff in the midst of the hardest things that have been happening in this country. And you know, and sometimes it's a little heavy-handed, and he did kind of perv on Trump a little too long for me, but there were other things to talk about and to poke fun at. But he called out the best late night comics on air right now as if he were a match. And I know that
let's show that. We actually have that footage. So why don't we show that and then we'll give commentary. Here he is addressing the competition.
What's on CNN?
You, sir, are a racist.
Oh, man. You are racist. You're the racist.
Awesome.
That's from the Don Lemon Hour. Who reports the news with the same look your mother gave you when she found weed in your sock drawer. As for those late night shows we're supposed to compete against, why bother? Who do they offend? The only time Stephen Colbert ruffles feathers is in a pillow fight. The definition of risk to Kimmel is dehydration from crying too much. Fallon, that guy fawns more than a herd of deer. And I heard Seth Meyers and Trevor Noah ran off to be obscure together. So let him be. They got the market cornered in calling Americans stupid. To them, it was never about Trump, it's Trump voters. It's not about guns, but gun owners. It's not just about destroying statues, it's anyone who thinks math is real.
I don't even understand what that's a reference to. The Jimmy Kimmel thing was kind of funny a little bit, but the rest of it was just puns. No.
He thinks that comedy is about offending people. He said, who do they offend? So he already doesn't know what comedy is about, right? Because comedy is not about offending people. Comedy is to be funny, to make you think. It is to provoke. It is to, and if you get offended because of it, then so be it. And that may be something else, but that comedy's purpose is not to offend. So we already know he doesn't understand comedy, which is why he can't master it. I would respect this more if it was on YouTube, if it was independent, but because it is part of a machine, the Fox machine, your whole argument about corporations go out of the window because you are there serving a corporation and a very one and one that is responsible for a lot of propaganda. So we don't believe that you are actually doing this because you're doing it for the people. Yeah. But the whole thing about him, you know, targeting the late night host and that you hear the three people in the studio laughing because those are the only people laughing at the joke. They're probably the ones who wrote them.
That's entirely possible. Oh, and a lot of people are pointing out in the chat, notice he didn't bring up John Oliver. Maybe he doesn't want to be the focus of John Oliver's next segment or whatever. John Oliver is very funny. He's probably my favorite right now, although I really liked Michelle Wolf before she was canceled. I thought that was very funny and different, but
also Conan O'Brien, he didn't target Conan.
That's true too. Yeah. Okay, there's one last little bit where I wanted at least a little bit where he addresses something that's in the news, and it's like, look, we're doing this segment because he's a bad guy and I like to laugh at him. He's basically Brian Kilmeade but mean and less funny. That said, I'm still a lefty, so my heart breaks sometimes to see people suffering, and you're about to watch a man suffering.
So screw you, MLB. Your stupid exhibition game is about as entertaining as a match of cornhole on ESPN at 3 a.m. in the morning. And screw Delta and screw Coke. In fact, screw all corporations. You stupid execs are cowards and bad golfers. You cheat on your taxes and you cheat on each other. I hope Dems raise the corporate tax to 99%, except on Fox, which should be tax exempt.
Oh, the delivery was so bad. Dude, read your script before you do it, please. Just rehearse once, honestly. It's just terrible. And like, it's tough, Ida. One of the reasons you're so amazing is because you're good and comedy is like the hardest art form. I don't do a comedy show because it's too hard. You don't have to do comedy, Greg. Seriously, you could just do stupid triggering the libs. Talk about Dr. Seuss for a while. That seems to play pretty well. You'll get paid millions. You don't have to try to do comedy. It's really tough, and it's especially tough for right wingers because you guys are defending bad people and attacking those who are suffering. That is not a firm foundation for humor.
Yeah, but earlier in the monologue, he did defend what happened in Georgia. And you know, he compared it to, what did he compare it to? I just forgot that quick because that's how unforgettable the monologue was. But he compared voting
it was like to buying a beer at a baseball game or something, maybe. I don't remember, honestly.
It was a false equivalency, but it was not dumb. I mean, it was dumb and not funny. But I just think that if you're gonna use a late night show because you wanna further the Fox News agenda and these talking points that are harmful to all of the Americans, not just the people who suffer the most because of them, it's just do that. I just think that the jokes are poorly constructed. I think the delivery is sloppy. I feel like a judge on American Idol right now. I didn't feel anything from him. All I felt was the smugness, even the pulling out of the glasses was mechanical, and it just all felt like he doesn't have any friends, like real friends. Nobody in his life is honest enough to say, that is some trash. You shouldn't put that out because nobody's gonna believe it. And the people who are pretending to believe it, they're just laughing at you, bro. They're not really laughing with you.
Yeah, you just have to like I'm trying to write and it's tough. I'm in a writing group specifically because these are people I trust to tell me when my stuff is bad. You need that. Anyway, really fast to close up though. I didn't want us to do this whole segment on comedy with the only comedy so far just being Ida. I wanted to add a little bit too that I saw in reply to Greg Gutfeld's tweet. So they're very subtle, they're very quick. I liked Dylan's tweet in response. Just a screenshot from the Joker. It's too good. Awesome. And then I gotta give credit to Michael Shore for his tweet. Oof. Oh my God, Greg Gutfeld not only wrote it, he then filmed it. And then after he filmed it, he posted it on Twitter. Oh my God, oof. Anyway, Ida, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Ida's an actual comedian. Ida, Where can people see both your comedy and your political commentary after this?
Well, so I'm on Truth Serum on Fridays, which is my podcast, and we're really focusing on comedy right now. I had the great Marsha Warfield there last week. So it's 12 p.m. Pacific time. It's Pacific time on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook. And I am currently back touring, so I will be hitting some markets in May. I will post my calendar on my Instagram at Funny Ida shortly. And you know, I'm on stage this week. I'm doing the Jam in the Van, which is on Friday. You look it up, Jam in the Van on Instagram. At it's in Santa Monica, and it's an outdoor show that's socially distant, and it's actually pretty fun. Some really great comedians show every week.
Okay, I gotta look that up. That sounds awesome. Thank you as always, Ida.
Thank you for having me. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.